Hey, welcome to the Clive Barker Podcast, episode 94. This was me and Jose and Rob Ridenour. We go through Clive Barker news. We talk about our April Fool's Day pranks, which got a little bit out of hand. And we're going to talk about tortured souls. Now, I know we've already done an episode when we did Rare Stories. We talked about tortured souls, but this was before it was published in a book. So we're talking about the Subterranean Press Tortured Souls. Now, I haven't started editing yet. I'm working on that. But I think that as we go along, there's a good possibility that I may have said that it was published by Dark Regions Press instead of Subterranean Press. So I apologize to everyone involved there. Those are both publishers that do some Clive Barker, smaller independent, special edition type books. This one is definitely Subterranean Press, Clive Barker's Tortured Souls.
Hey, this is Ryan. If you listen to the show, you might know that I'm a realtor in Fairbanks, Alaska. So we have this vast audience, but I only know of one of our listeners who lives in Fairbanks, Alaska. Hi, Ross. Did you know you can help me by letting me find you a realtor in your part of the country or world? I have access to networks of realtors, and many of them I know from past experience as a board president and state realtor board member. The best part is it won't cost you anything. After talking with you, I get a sense of what type of person would be a good fit for you. And when I match you together, I get paid a portion of the commission after you buy or sell a property. If you're looking to move or buying property and you'd like me to help you find a realtor that fits your needs, feel free to contact me through the site or call me directly at 907-978-2607. Thanks.
Welcome again to episode 94 of the Clive Barker Podcast. It's been a while, so sorry we didn't do one, but we didn't do one last week, mainly just because, why was that? Oh yeah, well, Easter weekend, and Jose was in the moving process, and I was busy with work, and I don't know, it just didn't. It was
Rob had an exam to go to.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was too hard to put it together, but we're not phasing out or anything. It just we just had to do a delay. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we got Jose, you're barricaded in the public library so that you can use their Wi-Fi, right?
Yes. I still have dial up in my house.
Yeah. And Rob Ridenour is here. Yeah, so I guess that kind of leads into the first thing we wanted to talk about was our April Fool's pranks. Mm-hmm.
Very successful, it seems.
Yeah, yeah. So
I got the I was what was my name? The what was that post they put on? I was called the unanimous April Fool's champion. So
yes.
Oh yeah, yeah. From the Clive Barker's Facebook page. So yeah, that was the big one. And this was Rob. This one was your idea to say that the Scarlet Gospels would be delayed for 1 year.
Yeah.
And it was really awesome that you had a picture that this is my face when I found out the news.
Yeah.
That was genius.
Yeah, I mean, that was
it's
really
been
good.
22 years, so I think a lot of people actually thought it was going to be delayed again.
So, and there's an email from, I won't mention the names of the people at St. Martin's Press, but from one person to six other people at St. Martin's Press said, well, this is silly. Who's spreading this rumor? And it was a link to your post.
Yeah.
And I think that they didn't realize
that we were spreading the rumor. They thought that you heard it from some real person because you quoted, you know,
I made up a fake quote.
Yeah. An anonymous source. And then, so they CC'd it to all of these top people at St. Martin's Press. And then somebody said, well, I'm going to talk to Clive Barker's people and we'll get to the bottom of this. And so they sent it to Mark Miller, and then he wrote to us because he wanted us not to say, hey, like, what's this about? He wrote to us to said, what? Not sure where this rumor got started, but if you'll see below from our publishers, it's 100% untrue. Can we rectify this on the message boards, etc.? So he wasn't coming to us to saying, hey, where did you get this information from? He was like saying, hey, I just want you guys to know this isn't true, and can you help us spread the word that this isn't true?
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, actually, we did that. That's an April Fool's prank. And people got really upset.
I know.
And it was only like one or two people that were like, hey, you know, look at the date. But other people were like, other people were upset. I think people are so ready to have the rug yanked out from under them with the Scarlet Gospels because everybody's waited so long for it. So it's not too far out of the realm of possibilities that now that we have a release date that could get pushed back and we have to wait again.
Yeah, I tried to post that on Occupy Media, and like the first response I got was like, not a funny April Fool's joke. And so I said, well, it wasn't going, because the guy kept getting like, he got like 10 likes. So I was like, I'll take it down from here.
Yeah. So it was mainly our Facebook page and our website where it got started. But it got reposted. And then the other one was saying that, I posted that you moved to Arizona, which is true.
I was saying goodbye to the Scarlet Gospels because I was moving to a house that only had dial-up or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Obviously.
Or to the Clive Barker podcast, yeah. Yeah, so it was like a goodbye Jose post, and I used that picture of you, like, driving away. And
Yeah.
And people were sharing it. So, like, people were sharing it as if it was real news and saying, oh, sorry to see you go. And you know, you were a big part of the podcast and it's too bad. And, you know, this isn't forever because we know that someday you'll get your internet back and then you'll be able to come back on. And
yeah, like the very next day when I arrived to the new house, I had like guys from Cox Cable coming in and putting it up. So
yeah,
it was a funny joke, though.
That's a real problem that I run into here in Alaska all the time is people love a house and then they buy it and they can't get internet where they're going.
Oh, yeah. Or they can't get any like 4G signal or cell phone reception or something like that. But the Scarlet Gospels is still coming out on May 19th.
Yeah.
And I'm still here.
Yeah,
and
he's not really barricaded in the library.
No. Well, I'm barricaded in my library.
Yeah.
That's just a good fun thing to do, I think. It was just fun, and it was out of fun. Yeah. You know, just out of fun. And
it's funny, though. It's like the more successful you are with April Fool's Day, the worse you feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, That's a good. That's a good point. I like the picture you posted of you saying I'm sorry and then looking down.
You're face palming. Yeah.
Because I got scared when all of those people at St. Martin's Press started emailing.
Yeah, I did too a little bit. I didn't
because I thought like I thought, oh God, they're, you know, what if they said that we're hurting their pre-order sales or something?
Yeah, I know. That crossed my mind. I started getting a little nervous. I really did because I actually apologized to Thomas and the Govan about it.
Yeah. Well, he thought it was hilarious, though.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
He did.
I don't know how. Yeah. Mark, we fooled Mark Miller too. He said, "Oh, you guys got me. That's a good one." He said, "You even fooled the publishers."
Yeah.
So that was pretty effective. Good job, Rob.
Thanks.
Oh man. So yeah, was our first attempt at.
Let me just say this. You remember, I think it was the last episode that we did where I mentioned something like there were people who send me messages saying that I don't believe the Scarlet Gospels is coming out on May 19th. I'll believe it when I see it. And I was like, I already read the book. It's here.
Yeah.
And I was thinking maybe those people are going to be like, I knew it. I knew it.
Yeah, right. People are so ready to believe that, that that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's
what made me think of that too. That guy that you talked to.
Yeah, that's
amazing. That, you know, it's got cover pictures. It's already written.
Yeah,
it's got a release date.
May 19th.
They have all these giveaways are coming out. You know, from all these different. You know, Rube Morgue recently had put up a new one. So again, it's not. You know, it's on the way. The Gospels are on the way.
Yeah, I hope some of the typos get cleaned up out of it. I mean, it's an uncorrected proof, so I'm guessing an advanced reader copy is the same thing as an uncorrected proof.
Yeah,
I most of the time, I think. But yeah, I mean, other than that, I thought it was great.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
So, do we want to go on to Clive Barker news?
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure. Let's
okay.
A lot of exciting stuff.
Yeah. So this one's not exactly exciting, but the Leviathan documentary's been delayed. Originally, I think as we're recording this today, it would have been available. Or no, it was on pre-orders started on Easter, and then they would have been shipping out today, right? Or today and tomorrow, I think.
No, the 13th when it would have been officially released, and that's when I think.
Oh, okay.
People like, didn't you say y'all contributed to the Kickstarter? I think y'all would have got them that day.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
But he had to delay for another week, I think, because of the people who physically make the DVDs.
Yeah. He said, we have had to push back the release by a few weeks. The exporting of the docs to get to the disc makers has taken a lot longer than we had scheduled for. So he says, currently disc 1 and disc 3 are ready to be printed and proofed.
Yeah.
But disc 2 won't be ready until next week, thus pushing us back.
Yeah. I mean, I can't see people really getting angry about that, because it's, you know, it's like, this is a thing that didn't exist before and we had no, you know.
Sure. Yeah,
I mean, he gave us a release date and everything and he changed it, but it's like, does that really hurt our lives that we're not going to see that like a week sooner?
Not really.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he says, therefore, pre-orders will commence on April 13th as opposed to April 6th.
Yeah.
With the product being released within 28 days after pre-order. So that will be 28 days after April 13th. That's going to be the official release date.
Yep, and we'll when we get that, we'll go through it, and maybe we'll have Gary Smart back on with the director and talk about it. It's we're going to have like 9 hours worth of stuff to watch, right, when that comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy.
There was another news report on that. I don't think I made a blog post of it, though. It was where he showed the breakdown of the chapter names and how long they were.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't think I made a blog post of
it. Yeah, but that wasn't the first time that was posted. I think that they did that like a month back also.
Okay, I had never seen that. I thought that was new.
Jose referenced that right before we had Gary Smart on, because he was like, hey, if I'm reading this right, this is like you've got 3 hours worth of bonus features.
Yeah,
I added, added up the times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he even updated it, I guess, because there was still like one of the special features was about Hellraiser 3, and he didn't have the full running time for that. And I think he gave us that full running time when we were talking to him on the phone.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, you remember that.
Yeah. And then so on April 1st, this was an April 1st post that wasn't a joke that you did, Rob, that The Entwined is going to begin filming in May.
In Atlanta.
Yeah.
So you should
go over there and now we've also found out they're doing casting calls, right?
Yeah, I should go and try to get a part.
It says here Revelations has just tweeted some big news concerning the upcoming feature The Entwined, which is being produced by Clive Barker's Seraphim Films. I don't think this is based on any Clive Barker story, though. He's just a producer. And it says production offices have now opened in Covington, Georgia, with filming to begin May 25th. Robert Hollocks is directing from a script he's co-written with Clive Barker, Sarah Jane Dalby, Christian Francis, Robert Hollocks, Wolf Lane, and Mark Ellen Miller. So they might have done like a pass on the script and maybe introduced a few elements or cleaned it up a bit.
Yeah, but it's a Clive Barker presents, so it's not
Yeah, so the story is about a couple who discover that their destinies are entwined with an ancient and powerful spirit whose evil threatens to engulf them both. So there you go.
I think the spirit is the Baron Samedi, the voodoo guy.
Oh, yeah.
I hope it's a major release. I hope it gets a theatrical big release. I don't know if it what the. Like maybe it's too early to, know on that, but I hope it gets into theaters.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, though, because it's not as big of a stigma to be, a direct-to-video movie anymore. I think that you can have good movies that don't, it's like they just decide it's more cost-effective to just release them on demand, and
Even have TV shows that are exclusive to, places like Netflix and stuff like that, nowadays... Yeah.
Who would have thought 10 years ago that, that Amazon.com would be making original movies and TV shows?
Yeah, that's true.
You mean that place where you buy used books?
Mm-hmm. That's right. You're right.
Yeah.
Netflix has a Daredevil show coming up.
I know. Yeah, yeah. They got a Marvel license. Some company that just was mailing out DVDs to people.
Vincent D'Onofrio is going to be the Kingpin, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, cool. I saw the pictures. It looks great. Yeah. So hopefully the Entwined will also, be a success. Let's hope so.
Yeah, we don't know. Maybe they don't even know how it's going to be distributed yet. I suppose it depends on the entire budget. It amazes me the more I hear interviews from people, that the more that you find out that half of the budget is marketing.
Yeah.
Or more, and that's just crazy to me. It seems like a waste.
And on April 2nd, Rob, you posted about a new Kickstarter featuring art by Clive Barker. So,
the one with the dream?
Yeah, by Zimble.
That magazine, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be cool.
There was a lot of different packages you could get with there was one specific to Clive Barker, though. I wonder if it's still available. There were only 10 available.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely. I was trying to find the actual link to the post that we did.
Oh, it's on our notes on OneNote there.
Yeah.
Kickstarter.
It got mixed in with another link, so that's why I was trying to...
So the Kickstarter has 18 days to go. It's at $1,542 out of $3,000 goal. So it's Zimble presents Gail Pataki's Freaks and Clive Barker, The Private Dream Notebook.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Plus poetry, short stories, culture clash interview. $45 you can get a Zimble package plus Gail Pataki or Clive Barker print.
Wasn't this like a stretch goal for Imaginer at one point? Wasn't there some kind of thing about the dream notebooks of Clive Barker as a stretch goal for Imaginer? I think I remember something like this.
There was the adolescent notebook.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was from a young period of Clive Barker.
Yeah.
Here's the pledge. If you pledge $150 or more, you get just a specific Clive Barker patch. It comes with issue 5. The Clive Barker Dream Notebooks, plus a pre-order of issue 6 of the Zimble magazine, the Clive Barker paintings, plus signed Clive Barker art print.
And we'll have a link in the show notes, but if you're listening to this and you want to look it up, you can also go to Kickstarter, and probably if you search for Zimble, Zymbol, I can't imagine there'd be a whole lot of other things that show up in there, so I would do that.
And it's the summer 2015 issue 5 of Zimble. So,
oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
It looks pretty good.
As of this recording, there's 18 days to go, so there's plenty of time to get something in.
And they're over halfway, so it looks like they'll probably make it.
Yeah, I hope so. They have a goal of $3,000, and they're a little over $1,500 right now.
And when we talked to Thomas Nagovin last, we talked a lot about Kickstarter, and he's a big proponent of this, system of kind of eliminating the middleman and marketing directly to the, to the people who would buy your products and stuff. So it's kind of a new way of thinking. What's next? Okay, so, Dark Delicacies Midian Unmade, you can pre-order that now. If you get it at the Dark Delicacies store, and Del Howison, the owner of Dark Delicacies, is also an editor, for this book, if you pre-order it there, you'll get it with a whole bunch of autographs.
Yeah. They've not announced them yet, but it'll be with a bunch of the people that contributed to the...
Yeah.
So that. Some of them are already published authors. Some of the invited authors for Meeting Unnamed already, you know, have books selling on Amazon. So I'm guessing that he's going to do a big event where they'll be there to sign books.
Yeah. And for people who can't make it all the way to, you know, Burbank, you can always... You can always pre-order one, special order one. I've bought stuff from them. I think I've said this before, but I've bought stuff from them autographed without being there.
Yeah, I bought a first edition of Thief of Always. I think I called the store, like Dale Howison posted something on Facebook saying, I got Clive Barker signed books for sale, so you know, here's my number. And I called him, and he answered, and I bought the first edition of The Thief of Always signed by Clive Barker. So that was
nice. Pretty,
pretty easy, yeah.
And it's a really cool store, and they deserve support. So, you know.
Yeah, once he drove you to the bus station or train station.
He drove me to my hotel after it was over. Yeah. I walked, and I on my GPS on my phone, it didn't look like it was that far. And then, I don't know why, but then it ended up being 3 miles I walked with a broken foot to get to the book signing.
I can imagine you hobbling.
Yeah.
And don't forget, on August 1st at 2 p.m. in Dark Delicacies in Burbank, both editors, Joseph Nassis and Del Howison, and some of the contributors, will be signing the hardcover editions of the book.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. And speaking of Midian Unmade, so Del recently shared an alternate cover. And this being an audio podcast, we don't need to talk about it too much, but we can put the picture in the show notes, but... It was just basically a whole bunch of words.
Yeah.
So it said Midian Unbound, Tales of Clive Barker's Nightbreed, edited by Joe Nassis and Del Howison, introduction by Clive Barker, featuring all new stories by Amber Benson, Nancy Holder, Sheenan McGuire, Weston Ox, David J. Show, Stephen Woodworth, and more. So it was like it looks okay, but I like the one better that the official one better.
Yeah, I
don't. I don't get the. I don't get the Midian Unbound. I mean, that's not even the name of the book.
That was just, I guess, an alternate title.
Yeah, Midian Unmade makes more sense because Midian was actually unmade.
It was always the title for the project. It was always Midian Unmade. I've never heard of it being called Midian Unbound. So.
Yeah, Unbound seems like kind of a lazy title, like when people put Rise of the or Rising in the title of something.
Yeah.
Or Son of.
Yeah.
House of Midian.
Yeah.
Son of Midian.
Midian Unleashed.
Revenge of the Son of Midian.
That's the other one that drives me nuts is Unleashed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so it was on a dog leash and now it's not anymore.
They did that for all of the Barkerverse comic books. They did the Ecto Kid Unleashed.
Oh, yeah, God.
Hyperkind Unleashed, all those.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, so what's the next one?
So what we got?
Scarlet Gospel's audio sample. And there was a link to something on the front cover of the advanced reader copy that I never went to, but I wonder if that's the same thing.
I didn't listen to that, but I was told that it was very good. I'm very tempted to go to it, but I just want to kind of keep it to, you know, spoiler free.
Yeah, I didn't really have time to listen to it yet, but because I was moving.
Yeah.
And but I remember when we got the advanced copies on the back cover, it said something like, if you want to hear a sample of the audiobook, go to blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And I went there, and it wasn't up. So it wasn't there yet. So I figured they already put it up at some point, and I'm curious about it. I'm going to listen to it.
You went farther than me. I didn't do that. But I would imagine if it's a sample, it's probably the beginning, because the beginning of that book is really kind of a gut punch as far as like setting the tone for what the rest of the book is going to be like.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking at it right now. They put it up on SoundCloud, and it's like a 10-minute extract.
Oh, okay.
Or excerpt of the Scarlet Gospels. Sorry.
I bet it's the first chapter, but that's what I would do if it were me. But it's not up to me.
Do you guys remember when Abarat 2 had like a website. Well, there was a website called The Books of the Aberrats.
Yeah.
There was this little animation with the map of the islands. And then there was a place where you could hear an excerpt of Aberrat 2 read by Clive Barker. And I remember that. That was really cool. I remember it was like – it was also like 10 minutes or something. It was really cool.
And Mark Miller and somebody made that animated sequence with the map.
Oh, that was – you're talking about the book trailer.
Yeah.
That was for Aberrat 3. I'm talking about Aberrat 2, yeah.
Okay.
There was a website called The Books of the Aberrat. It doesn't exist anymore. I only have screen caps of it.
I bet it was HarperCollins put that together then.
Yeah, I think it was still HarperCollins, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, audiobook of the Scarlet Gospels.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting. Actually, there's something I want to point out, which is kind of, I don't know if this is intentional or accidental, a typo, but I went to the Macmillan audio page. And I opened it up. It says, listen to an advanced excerpt from the audiobook edition of Clive Barker's The Scarlet Gospel. They forgot an S there.
In my apologies, I forgot to put an S on. I wrote The Scarlet Gospel in my April Fool's apology post. Oh. And so I repeated that typo over and over again. It's like, whatever.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so we'll leave an we'll leave a link to this on the show notes, so people, if you want to go there and listen to it, you can go follow the link.
Yeah, there's a Pinhead Pantocrator medallion. I don't, and those were available in like bronze and
silver.
Silver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's one that you see. It comes with a autographed by Clive Barker and. The guy who designed it was Dave Richardson. He's autographed.
So is he also the artist that made that painting that looks like stained glass window of Pinhead?
I think that's Christian Francis who did that.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say I thought it might be Christian Francis. It kind of looks like his style.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Pantocrator means it's a specific definition of Christ. It comes from Greek, and it's a translation of one of the many names of God in Judaism. So it's basically just a fancy schmancy name to refer to a god. So they added that to Pinhead. Pinhead Pantocrator. No spoilers, Pinhead. You know about the Scarlet Gospels, but Pinhead does go through some transformations in the book. And, you know, so that's cool. I really like this little medallion. I'm thinking about getting one.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I forget. How much are they? $29.99 and $79.99.
There's a pewter one that's cheaper, and then there's the bronze one that's more expensive.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I'd probably get the pewter one because I don't need to go nuts with bronze.
Yeah, I'll definitely put that in the shelf right next to the book.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
There was a Scarlet Gospels... it was like a trailer.
For the audiobook.
Yeah, for the audiobook. That was pretty cool. I did watch that.
So it was a video trailer?
Yeah. I think I attached it.
Okay.
It's on YouTube. It was posted by Revelations, and they have a book trailer, which now seems to be the norm for books. I mean, there was book trailers for Aberrat 2, book trailer for Aberrat 3. There was a book trailer for Mr. Begone. Yeah. So now there's a book trailer for the Scarlet Gospels.
People like going to YouTube, I guess.
It's a book trailer for the audiobook, actually. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Which, again, is coming out on May 19th.
Yeah.
It's just they had the line they used in the trailer, the guy's reading it. It's a really cool line. I like the way the language or the way that kind of...
The delivery?
The delivery, yeah. I can't remember the line he utters. He's like, basically, I don't want to spoil it. I'll just go watch the trailer if you want to have spoilers.
Yeah, and I'm reading your post. You said, after watching the trailer, all I can say is that I'm ready for this book to come out now, damn it. Pinhead sounds more pissed off than ever, and it appears the name itself is starting to get on his nerves, if you know what I mean. Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting.
And then last thing, of course, there is a and we were just talking about this before the show, but there's a production of Clive Barker's play History of the Devil in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, what are the odds?
Yeah, I mean, right when I move here. There.
Yeah, I move here, and it's like, boom, I'm like finally getting some time to, you know, go on the computer and see, so what's new, and, you know, I've been out of the loop for a few days. So I go there, and I see this awesome poster. It says here, Clive Barker's The History of the Devil, an Arizona premiere, and it says, recommended for mature audiences, adult themes, language, and nudity. Opens on April 10, which is this Friday, and is going to be on until the 25th. And it's cool. It's really cool.
So that's tomorrow then, as we're
yeah, it starts.
Yeah, as we're recording this.
Opening night is going to be tomorrow.
Wow.
What day are you and Sarah going?
Oh, we're going on Saturday. It's going to be the second day they're open. So I actually bought tickets for the opening by mistake, and I called them and I changed them for Saturday because, you know, it's kind of complicated to go there at 8 p.m. To Phoenix on Friday night. It would be a little complicated because, of course, it's a busy day. It's a work day.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It would be – yeah. So we're going there on Saturday, and it's amazing. I already bought tickets, and I'm stoked to watch it. So it's going to be a great Saturday evening.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, you'll have to tell us about it. And if you can get any interviews or anything, maybe we could make an episode of it or not.
Oh yeah, but, I'll try to get some pictures of the play if I can. I don't know if I'm authorized to get any pictures. I don't want to take out my phone in the middle of it. So
yeah.
I'll see what I can do. But definitely, you know, expect pictures of the theater and you know.
Well, and with plays, mostly they, you know, you do get to meet the cast and stuff as you're walking out. So maybe you get a chance to talk to some of them.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Or if you're, you know, if it's more comfortable, you can even, you know, make arrangements for them to do a you know,
a telephone interview with them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So interesting. And this is part of another larger cycle, I think. Actually, it was Sarah. She was reading about the play, and she's like, oh, did you know that this is about some kind of, like, cycle that the Theater of Phoenix is doing that involves nudity and plays with nudity? So, interesting. I guess it will work with this play because this play has a lot of, you know, sexual situations, I would say. And History of the Devil. I mean,
I still need to read that.
Yeah,
I've not read it yet. I've got the book. I've got the both play book, both the books that he released. Was it Incarnations? And I can't remember the other one.
Forms of Heaven. Yeah,
yeah, and it's in there. And I still need to read that. I want to read it very badly. And
I also recommend if you can find it, there is a production, an audio production of this play by the Seeing Ear Theater. The History of the Devil. It's dramatized. It's got all these like sound effects and all these different voices, and it's really amazing.
I'd like to get that. That'd be nice to have.
Yeah.
I think you can find it on YouTube. You know, I think someone has uploaded it to YouTube. So if I can, I'll add a link of it to the show notes as well.
Well, we don't have something picked out for our next episode, so we could. We could pick, you know, one of those two playbooks, the one that has History of the Devil, and we could talk about, you know, because then you all have just gone and seen it, and maybe that's not a bad way to go for our next one.
Okay, yeah. That's good.
Buys me more time to finish Everville also.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah, Everville, because, we're going to tackle that one. That's going to be the major novel that we're going to tackle next.
And we're still reserving episode 100 for something big.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's see what we can do. Let's see what we can do.
Yeah. Okay, so what is this link here, that Macmillan link, Mac Audio?
Oh, that is the link to the Macmillan Audio page where you can listen to the excerpt of the Scarlet.
Oh, okay. Okay. Gotcha. So that's just that's connected to that other one. Okay. I think that's it for news, right? I mean, we'd already talked about that they're having a casting call now for the Entwined.
Yeah.
So hopefully, Rob, you could get in there.
I'll try. Yeah. I could talk to somebody.
Yeah.
I'll maybe contact that Maybe I'll contact that production office.
Yeah, well, and we can also try to do it through Seraphim, too, and see if we can get you in there. And then you could be kind of behind the scenes, and it would be smart for them to help promote the movie.
Yeah. That's only about 3 hours from here.
You could be an extra that gets killed or something.
That'd be nice. I'd like that pretty much.
Yeah. So our main topic here is Tortured Souls, and we, of course, have done an episode about Tortured Souls before. But back then, we were just reading a PDF of it. So now we've got the full book, the Dark Regions Press edition.
Yeah, I got a question. I remember, well, this came out originally in the toys, the figures of the Tortured Souls, right?
Yeah.
It came inside the boxes. And so for a long time, that was the only place where you could read the story until someone typed it up, put it on the internet. Did you have any chance to see if they changed anything from the actual Tortured Soul text?
I don't think so. I think it's the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's still Tortured Souls, the Legend of Primordium, right?
Yeah, and it's got the six parts. Yeah, the main difference in this is the illustrations by
Egerton, right?
Yeah, Bob Eggleton.
Yeah,
which are awesome. I think they're great, and he did that cover painting.
You have you're signed too, right? Mine's not signed.
Yeah. So I have the limited 500, one, and mine's number 64.
Yeah, I just got the regular trade paperback because I just wanted to read the story.
Yeah. Well, and we wanted to do an episode about it, and so I asked Mark Miller. I said, and this was two years ago. If we could get a copy of that. And he's like, I don't have the key. I don't know. I don't have access to everything, but I can get you some things. And he got us a copy of the PDF.
Oh, cool.
To read. Yeah. Cause like, that was my biggest problem is like, I'm married. I'm not going to go buy all these hideous toys and stand them up around the house.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, especially what is, the Dr. Talisak. That's a gruesome, horrifying looking thing.
Yeah, he's got like a
pretty cool.
What is it?
He's hanging from his lips, and he's got a womb.
Yeah.
I know. That was pretty cool, though. It was from McFarlane, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. They actually did another series of toys after that. I don't know if that follows this story of, the Legend of Primordium, but they actually did a series of other toys after, they did the first series.
And in our last episode when we talked about this story, we kind of talked about how this city Primordium seems to be like in a place out of time or separated somehow from the rest of the world.
Then it has modern cars or something.
Yeah, it has modern cars, and it has
a limousine.
But it also has people killing each other with swords, but it's got like this science where you can build monsters, and it just sort of made me think, what if Primordium is in hell?
Oh, that's interesting. That's a cool point.
And
yeah.
Because it seemed like, after reading the Scarlet Gospels, this seemed like a city that you would see there.
I was going to ask you that, in fact, if that this felt like, you said in the Scarlet Gospels that, if you might have to delete this from the podcast, but I just want to ask y'all personally, that it felt like this. You said it felt like the Scarlet Gospels hell felt like it had a lot of different, like it was different districts and stuff like that.
Was comparing it to Mr. Begone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because Mr. Begone has the nine circles, like in Dante's Inferno. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And we didn't really see that in the Scarlet Gospels. But this, I don't know. Primordium kind of feels like it could be, but they he says outright, it's one of the first cities on Earth. Before Alexandria and Rome, and
Troy.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I mean, maybe it got relocated. Or maybe they thought that because this is a story that's going into toys, it doesn't need to be that detailed or...
Yeah, I was going to go for that one. I was going to go for... This is like... It's like, I guess, the Jump Tribe thing.
Yeah.
You know? It's like it's a little self-contained universe that maybe he didn't think much of it literary-wise. But then when this, you know, you put it all together, you start reading it like a book, you realize that, you know, it's self-contained. It doesn't really seem to fit with reality or, you know, any other of Clive Barker's universes.
Well, it's kind of like Maximilian Bacchus that way too, right? There's just stuff that happens that doesn't make sense and you just have to accept it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is a modern city and people are driving away and they get killed by bandits.
Sure.
The
tarot card reader.
Yeah. I like the descriptions that he gives a lot of this stuff. I like there was a part he talked about it. There's a part in the city where it's called the vomitorium.
Yeah.
Where it's like consumed food that's eaten again. It's given to like the people that are, I guess, are poor.
Yeah.
And primordium.
You know, that was a real thing with Romans, actually. They would binge on banquets, and then they would have like a place where they could go and, you know, basically just stick their fingers down their throat and puke it up so they can eat some more.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Like, the ultimate, you know, indulgence you can do is like keep eating, and then when you're full, you just have some
and
sort of.
I'd never heard that they sold that again, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, Clive Barker said about this, he said, "There's a city called Primordium, which I will certainly go back to. It is a city of insurrections and anarchy and dark sex. And there's a lot of sex in the story and a lot of revenge. I wanted the world to feel like one of Webster's plays where you've got this kind of effortless fantasy, where in The White Devil there's this kind of casual reference to one of the characters being a werewolf." I think he's referring to something else here. And then he goes like, "And you know, nobody makes a big deal out of it. There it is. The feelings that people have in Webster's plays, the profundity of their anger and their need for revenge and their twisted sense of possessiveness over one another, particularly over women, turns them into monsters even if they take human form. I wanted very much for Primordium to be that world and be a place where the least of the creatures is monstrous. Sometimes monstrousness can be beautiful."
Yeah.
So he said that in 2001, which was when The Tortured Souls came out.
So that's really interesting, and that brings up a point that, you know, I think we talked about this a little bit before, but people's disappointment that the Tortured Souls movie never got made.
Yeah.
And oh yeah.
I feel a little hesitant to see that done because there would have to be so much. People wouldn't accept this book the way it is in movie form.
No, oh, absolutely not.
We would love it, right? But general audiences might say this movie doesn't make any sense.
And I think maybe executives wouldn't even let a lot of this stuff, you know, make it.
Yeah,
into the screen in the first place.
And that's where the problem is, because it would have to get vivisected, right? And put together so that it's not recognizable anymore.
Well, we don't know exactly what form the Tortured Souls script was going to take. I mean, if it was going to reinterpret some parts of the story, you know, like in Hellraiser, it's not the same as the Hellbound Heart. It changed when it was turned into a movie. And the same thing happened with...
But only slightly.
Candyman, you know, although that one wasn't written by Clive Barker. I mean, the script. But who knows? Maybe he would have changed a few things. But definitely, I think that...
Well, didn't somebody else write the script for Tortured Souls, right? I don't think it was Clive Barker.
I think it was Clive Barker.
Was it?
Wasn't it?
It was a man named Hans Randolph. Oh. He wrote Man Thing. Rodionoff, yeah. He wrote Man Thing, the movie. Some other scripts, too, yeah. But he was the one that...
Okay.
And I remember reading a description of it, and it was really different.
Yeah, so Hans Rodionoff, I think he was involved with a few other Clive Barker projects.
And they showed a visual trailer for it, which is just taking chunks of other movies and sticking them together to, you know, make a trailer.
Mm.
And it wasn't really like this book.
Yeah, it was meant to be Clive Barker's, he was going to direct the movie, but then, of course, things got in the way, like they usually do with some of these projects, especially when you're talking about making a movie. There's always so many things that can go wrong. Yeah. You know, you might not find producers or, you know, the studio is interested, but then someone leaves the studio and someone replaces them and they're not interested anymore, which was kind of like what happened to Midnight Meat Train.
Yeah.
So you never know. At least with books, you know that it's just one man writing the book. And then, you know, the book gets sent to the publisher and edited, and then it's put out.
Yeah.
With movies, it's different. It's really more of a collaborative thing.
Yeah, they could become unrecognizable by the time they get to the end.
You were talking about not buying all the figures because you thought some of them were too gruesome. I remember, and I think I have this in my hard drive somewhere. You remember when Clive Barker used to be a regular guest at Loveline?
Yeah.
That
yeah.
radio show with Dr. Drew and what was the other guy's name? I forgot. Adam Carolla. So I have somewhere in my hard drives. I need to find this. I have a 2001 episode. I think it was July 2001, where he went there and he was promoting the Tortured Souls and he brought figures for them to play with. And he got Dr. Drew and Adam like going nuts over the figures. Like, well,
really?
Look at this guy. Like hanging from, he's hanging from like these chains and it's like, this is gruesome. Yeah. I got that. I think I need to find that. And if I can find that, I'll send it to you guys. So,
I don't think
we can put that on the podcast because, you know, it's obviously another radio show, but it was really fun.
I have one of the figures, but I didn't open it. It was the Vino Anatomica.
Yeah.
Anatomica.
Yeah. The guy that's with that has the hood that goes over his eyes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Does this guy, the Bob Eggleton, does he make drawings of these characters in the book? Because I don't have the book.
He does, yeah. Yeah, and in fact, the cover, I think that's Vena Anatomica on the cover of the Tortured Souls book.
Yeah, I was wondering. I thought it was, but I wasn't positive.
Because he has sort of a skeletal face.
Yeah, because they kind of call him Death in the book.
Yeah.
So.
Mm. I mean, he doesn't look exactly like the toy, but I'm sure that's him.
Okay.
Each chapter, right before it starts, comes with an image that he's drawn.
And the inside cover has a drawing of Primordium with, maybe that's not, actually, I take that back. Maybe that figure is, what's his name? The one that can, that reconfigures
the
people.
Oh, yeah, that's Agonistes.
Yeah. Exactly. Agonistes or... Yeah,
I think the one figurine that I always liked was Lucidic.
Oh yeah,
Lucidic.
Yeah,
I don't know exactly how to pronounce it, but yeah, it's great. I think the name reminds me of Angelique, you know, from Bloodline. So,
and Ziles Krieg, there's a drawing of Ziles Krieger before he becomes the Scythe Meister.
When he was just the assassin.
Yeah, so there's a picture of him with his, you know, in his regular clothes, and he's holding a scythe.
Yeah, also what I like... Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, what I really liked about the book is that it's a really good love story. I mean, you know, I like the relationship between Ziles Krieger and, what's her name?
Lucidic?
Yeah.
Yeah, but what was her name before that? Is it always that name? Or?
I think no. She did have I thought she had another name.
She did.
Maybe, yeah, but I can't remember it offhand. But
I don't have the book right now.
It was a, you know, I was, you know, drawn to that a lot. You know, between their love story.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a little bit of Shakespearean elements in there.
Yeah.
Romeo and Juliet or something.
It's funny that you mentioned this being a story because I'm looking at Revelations and he says here that Tortured Souls, he says, I promised what I would do if I was going to go into the idea of figurines, I would make the most intense figurines I could make. I've written the story, a six-part story, so each character gets a story to go with them. And if you collect all six, you get this huge Clive Barker piece of fiction. And then he also mentioned, I'm trying to find the exact quote here, the stories are about how a group of individuals fall in love and find redemption in this dark place. It's actually, in a weird way, rather optimistic. And this is from an interview that he gave to Times LA.
Yeah, I don't know if it's optimistic or not. It seems like even though they destroyed the aristocracy or the empire, that you don't really get a feeling that whether things are getting better or not.
I think Lucidique at the end of the story comes to terms with her own destiny.
Yeah,
and and she becomes kind of a figure that a lot of people look up to, and basically, you know, it's about immortality and transformation. And in the Clive Barker stories, transformation is always this thing that's violent but very positive. It gives them like more abilities, more power. It gives them more power. So.
To think I hesitated.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's great that you mentioned that Primordium, you could look at it as being something that takes place in hell.
Just the idea, because hell being sort of a timeless, place of contradictions, and you know, and I think in the Scarlet Gospels it had its own, you know, its own laws and people, and it was like a real place. I don't know. It's just an idea. It sure sort of looks like it's hell when you look at the cover of this book.
Reminds me of that. The cover reminds me of was that Wayne Barlow's?
Yeah, Inferno.
Yeah, Inferno. That's what it kind of reminds me of.
Oh yeah, I'm still finishing that book that I was reading, The God's Demon. So
yeah, I bought that based off. I need to read that based off your suggestion.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to read. It's very dense, very densely packed with a lot of stuff, a lot of visual descriptions and stuff. I really enjoy the book. So,
I totally recommend getting the Scarlet Gospels if you don't have the toys and you haven't read it before. And this is another Clive Barker story that's not really like anything else that he's written. I mean, I guess it's sort of it would be sort of like, what would it be like? I can't really even think of another. It's got that feeling like Maximilian Bacchus that you just have to accept that this world doesn't make sense, or it's not like the reality that, you know, that we know. But it's violent. It's not like this Maximilian Bacchus in other ways. I don't know.
I'm really, you know, we haven't mentioned yet that this was from Subterranean Press.
Dark Regions, right? Was it? I forget. No,
it's Subterranean.
Yeah, Subterranean Press. You got first appearances. Okay, so I'm looking at the bibliography. I'm sorry about that. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at the bibliography, and it says here, Book 1, The Secret Face of Genesis, came out with Agonistus. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Book 2, The Assassin Transformed, came out with the Scythemeister. Book 3, The Avenger, came out with Lucidique. The Surgeon of the Sacred Heart came out with Talisac. The Haunter of Primordium, Chapter 5, came with Venal Anatomica. And the final chapter, The Second Coming, was released with the figure of Mongroid, which is really cool, Mongroid. That's my favorite one.
That was a disgusting description of the birth of that thing.
Yeah.
But he talked about it in the book. He's so good at that, getting like very vivid descriptions and the way he describes stuff. I love it. Yeah. I mean, it's great.
Wait until you read the opening of Scarlet Gospels.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, it's like that.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of visual and sound descriptions of what's going on with the Pinhead's victims.
Yeah.
And it came out with 5 or 4 different editions, I think. There was the U.S. limited edition. There was hardback, signed, limited to 26. signed lettered copies, and it cost $275. Then there was the U.S. limited edition that was hardback, 350 signed numbered copies, and that was $60.
Yeah.
And there's the U.S. hardback edition, which is just $30. So
I think it's that if I'm not mistaken, it's all sold out though right now.
Is it?
Oh,
yeah, I believe so. It's all.
I was looking at Amazon, and there was some kind of complication with Amazon. I think that Subterranean
had to bow out of a lot of sales from like Amazon and other retailers because they had too many orders, but they didn't have enough books.
Wow!
So I canceled my order from Amazon and went to right from Subterranean and got it that way because I didn't want to lose out on getting it.
Yeah.
Right.
More and more, I'm trying to buy things more, especially with this Clive Barker stuff. I'm trying to buy things more from the source.
Yeah.
Just because of stuff like that, and we're buying these limited editions, and there's more chance of autographs, and I don't know. It just, and same thing with, I'd recommend, Scarlet Gospels. I mean, Amazon had the pre-order up before anybody, but that does, but that may not be the best place to buy it.
Unfortunately, I took a long time to buy the book. So unfortunately, I think I'm looking at Subterranean Press's page.
And I'm it on says there right edition now too.
Sold out, limited edition sold out, and lettered edition sold out. So everything is sold out. I guess I'll have to get it from eBay.
You could get the ebook. I think is the only.
Yeah, sure. I'd like to have a physical book as well. So
yeah.
And it's kind of a small book, right? It's 88 pages long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like the cover. It's really amazing.
So you did order a copy? If you did, I'd get in contact with Subterranean about it.
I haven't yet. No, I haven't. I was thinking about doing it on Amazon, but when I decided to buy it from Amazon was the same day that I read that posted article about – don't buy it from Amazon. Buy it from Subterranean because Amazon's not going to have enough.
I see that on here. It is sold out everywhere. They do have on their main page how to buy the ebook for our listeners that want to do that. But yeah. I love the physical book. I think it looks really nice. It'll look good on the shelf.
It's great that there are some reviews on Subterranean Press from some publishers, and it says here from Publishers Weekly. Horror legend Barker, Hellraiser, builds a world of corruption, decay, political intrigue, and bile-inducing detail in this tightly constructed novella.
Yeah, that's
bile-inducing.
Bile-inducing.
Primordium is fully fleshed out with small details, but much is left for readers to wonder and have nightmares about. And then San Francisco Signal wrote in their review, Tortured Souls is a one-sitting read. Even so, it moves along at a very swift pace, wasting little time to turn some unexpected corner and introduce some new perverse monstrosity, all the while driving towards a conclusion that is both satisfying and alluring enough to want to see more stories set in the strange world. And there's a last one from October Country that said, the story itself is classic Barker. It involves an ancient corrupt city known as Primordium, a demonic creature of mysterious origin, the transformer of human flesh known as Agonistis. Or Agonistis, I don't know. Lucy Deke, the daughter of a corrupt politician, and Krieger, the assassin she recruits to help destroy Primordium's crooked dynasty. These elements and many more come together in a short, tightly woven tale of greed, supernatural forces, and violence. Yeah, and I love the... I can only see the stuff that's on Subterranean Press, but I love the drawings that Eggleton did for all these characters. They're really amazing. They're kind of sketchy looking, right? It looks like...
It's
like real sketchy. Yeah.
It looks like he kept the pen on the paper for a long time, just tracing everything out. Pretty cool.
Let's see, what was it?
Oh, there's the Talisac. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, Talisac looks a lot like the toy of Talisac.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm starting to think maybe that person on the cover is Agonistes and not maybe not the Scythe Meister.
Yeah, the Scythemeister has kind of like a layer of skin, a flap of skin pulled over the top of his head, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's Vena Anatomica.
Oh, sorry, yeah, that's Vena Anatomica. Yeah,
yeah, because he lifts that up and then Lucidique cuts his eyes out.
Yeah, the poor monster just stumbles.
Yeah, and he just spends the next 40 years screaming and acting like it just happened to him and he can never adapt to it.
Yeah, PTSD.
He gets renamed the what is that? I wrote it down in my notes. He gets called the
blind one.
Yeah, the blind one. That's what it gets called.
She found him in the cemetery, weeping from his slit eyes, the weary tears of a man who weeps every night but knows no cure for them. That's a pretty cool line right there.
Yeah.
There was a cool description I wanted to read. It was like Ananostes or Agonostes' prayer. Mm. It was really cool, but we can keep moving forward if... you want to?
I think it's really interesting that we got all of this, you know, sort of rich story and this whole world, just because Todd McFarlane wanted to make Hellraiser figures and he couldn't.
Oh, that reminds me. There's something I think I mentioned this when we covered Tortured Souls in a previous episode, but if you look at the figures. Some of them have signals carved in their flesh or their tools or something that are taken from the same shapes that appear in the Hellraiser box.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah. You know those – it's hard to describe them, but there's one that looks like – it looks like a number 3 backwards, and there's another one that looks like an F without the second dash and stuff like that. And so – these little letters, I remember this because when this came out in 2001, I was hanging out at the Hellbound Web, and all these people there were, you know, of course, huge Hellraiser fans. And so I think someone identified that and was like, hey, here's, you know, these detailed pictures of the figures, and here's this shape that's carved into one of the figures, and here's the equivalent on the box. And here's they had like 3 or 4 of those.
So it's like we can't make Pinhead, but we can, you know, we can at least put a little nod to Hellraiser. Sure. Yeah.
These creatures were basically Cenobites when you look at them. You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. The leather kind of, you know, bondage.
Yeah. And metal. And yeah.
I think I found the prayer that you were looking for. It was the prayer to Agonistes. It says, O Agonistes, dark deliverer, make me in the image of my enemy's nightmares. Let my flesh be the stuff from which you carve their terrors. And it goes on. But that's pretty
like
gruesome.
Do y'all know of any more? I hope he would write another story about it. The ending leaves, you know, more...
Yeah, I think it's really cool that, I mean, I don't know if maybe they just didn't make enough, but maybe they didn't judge the demand for this book, right? That they sold out so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would buy one. I mean, I just didn't have a chance to buy it. Now it's sold out.
So maybe that means that maybe they'll make more. Maybe that means that maybe Clive Barker would take another look at doing something else with this. It takes a lot to make Clive Barker write a sequel to something.
Yeah. I would say, personally, I don't believe that he's going to do a sequel to this.
Yeah.
At this point. I mean,
it's wrapped up pretty well. You know, it kind of wraps up like a grim fairy tale.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean by that, how everybody...
I think it would be cool to see Agonistes appear somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe the whole rest of it, you know, maybe the whole rest of it could be left alone. I'm not sure.
I do confess that I'm not entirely familiar with the Tortured Souls 2, The Fallen. But I remember there was Suffering Bob, and there was a female figure called Camille Noir. And I'm looking it up right now.
And there was no story that came with those.
Zane, Feverish, and Moribundi.
Yeah. Yeah,
this came out from Spawn Toys, McFarlane Toys.
Yeah. I wonder if those were done without Clive Barker.
I think it was still Clive Barker inspired as well.
Yeah.
It says here, the first series was optioned for film by Universal Studios. McFarlane and Barker went back to their drawing boards to come up with a new series of figures, even more twisted than the first. The result is Tortured Souls 2, a further redefinition of human flesh as canvas. So, yeah.
And then there was Infernal Parade also, which is sort of like Tortured Souls, but in a different world.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And yeah. It also came with stories.
Yeah, yeah.
Were those written by Clive Barker?
Well, I thought that the stories for Infernal Parade were more like what you see on the backboard of the toys.
Right. I think there was just like a...
like introductions to the characters.
It was much, much shorter. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
But if they could put that together and sell it, maybe that would be nice.
I think it would also
be nice to see what... if there was some kind of a story or something for the Tortured Souls 2.
I don't think the Infernal Parade stories would fill up too many pages, though.
No, probably not. Yeah, it probably would have been good as a supplemental material for this, actually.
No, I was just going to say, I thought there were stories with when they did the second, you know, volume of toys.
No, I was watching that really closely because I'm collecting Clive Barker short stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, I'd always thought about buying the toys for the first series, but I definitely was never going to buy the second series because they didn't even have books.
I probably won't buy them either because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're cool and everything, but it's like, I don't know, it's just not something that but you can just set out and, you know, as a conversation piece.
Yeah.
I was really excited when the Hellraiser figurines from NECA came out, though. Those were really cool.
Yeah.
I didn't get to buy a lot of those, but I still have like some of the original Cenobites and Pinhead and the Chatterer and Julia, and you know I have a limited edition of Chatterer.
I want to get there's a Frank they have that is really good where he's like you know dressed up in the clothes and
yeah the suit
he comes with like some rats and the switchblade.
A knife. Yeah. That was really cool. And Julia came with bandages that you could take off. Bandages and dress.
I've got that.
Yeah. It's really cool. You can take off her dress and her bandages and it's just a skinless Julia. It's really cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
And she's holding a heart.
I've heard that the Dr. Chouinard one is rare.
It is. And that's my brother's holding a here in Asheville. Him and a friend hold a toy convention, and they're having one next month. And I bought a table to sell some of my stuff, some of my toys. I'm gonna see if I can try to trade somebody for a Chouinard because that's really a rare figure.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you'll be able to find it there.
Yeah.
Every horror convention I've ever gone to, there's been somebody selling, you know, all those NECA toys.
Yeah. Hopefully I can find it for a good price. Maybe do some trading or something like that.
Oh yeah.
Well, there were two different sets for Chouinard from NECA. I think I remember there was a more normal one, like the other figurines, except of course this one had the big tentacle connected to the head.
Mm.
So it was kind of a box set. But then there was a statue of Chouinard. You know, there was a limited edition statue. There was like, I forgot how tall it was, but I have the Pinhead statue, for example, and it was the same size, maybe a little taller. And so sometimes I'm not entirely sure when I see this stuff appear on eBay, they use this stock photo and I'm never entirely sure. Is this the plastic one or the ceramic statue? It's hard to tell sometimes. I wish I could get the statue. The box set, I would like to have it, but it just, it's so expensive, you know. Yeah.
How much is it going for?
Well, I can Google that up now on eBay, but every time I look at that, it varies between $200 and something.
Oh wow! Big.
Yeah.
Dang.
Here it is: Hellraiser Dr. Chouinard action figure deluxe box set, and this is like the smaller one, so it's basically made of plastic and just like the other ones. This one here from Australia, it's $153.91. And then the 22-inch resin statue is $275 on eBay.
Yeah.
It varies. There's like $199, you know. And then I find another of the box set is $119.99. So it's hard. I mean, this is really expensive. Unless you're willing to buy something without the box and everything and used, you can get it for like $75 maybe, the plastic one. But if you want the 22-inch resin statue, then it's – it's between $250-$300.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have too many Godzilla toys, so I can't buy other
things. Yeah.
I'd like to see that collection someday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I actually got to move them out of the closet, finally. I've got a shelf for them now.
Oh, nice.
So do we have any feedback for this episode?
Oh, yes. Actually, we do. We've got a... I got an email from Nuno. Said, mm-hmm. I follow with attention your podcast, Informed, Made with Devotion and Charisma.
Thank you.
Allow me a question for the graphic novels of the universe. Hellraiser. Should I buy this first, Hellraiser Masterpieces Volume 1 and Volume 2, or Hellraiser Volume 1 through 4 trade paperbacks? So my answer there is I would get the Hellraiser trade paperbacks.
Yeah.
The Hellraiser Masterpieces, they take random stories and put them together, like which ones they think are the best. And so you're not getting the complete collection.
Okay, so he asked, what will the difference be between the two collections and in terms of quality? Well, I can tell you right now that these Hellraisers trade paperbacks that he's talking about from Boom Studios, those are the ones with the stories, with the modern stories, right? The stories that came out recently from Boom Studios.
Well, no, he's talking about Hellraiser. I don't think there are trade paperbacks of the Boom ones.
Yeah, no, there are. I have like three of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got three of them.
I misunderstood the question. I thought those were Epic trade paperbacks.
Right, so the big difference between the Hellraiser Masterpieces and the trade paperbacks...
Yeah, they're completely different.
Boom, is that the first ones, the Masterpieces, came from the 90s comics released by Marvel.
Yeah.
And Masterpieces is basically just a collection of some of the best stories or more popular stories, and they slapped them together to a paperback, and they sold that. My opinion of these is that I've seen some. I don't know if it was a problem with printing for the paperback that I saw of these Masterpieces, but it seemed like there was a degradation in quality from – if I put the 90s comics next to this one, it looks like that one has been scanned and reprinted. Mm. So if you want the crisp colors, I would – you know, crisp design and lines and colors, I would go buy the 90s Marvel Hellraiser comics, because those can appear cheap on eBay. Yeah. You know, you can get a full set of that for like $40.
And knowing now that what he's asking, this is really comparing apples and oranges.
Yeah, because even the continuities are different.
Yeah, it's a completely different set of stories for these Boom trade paperbacks.
Yeah.
So I would say, like you said, get the original comics for the Epic run of 20. And then for the new, and then yeah, get those Boom trade paperbacks for the new Hellraiser stories.
Right, because the Marvel comics used to have at least three or four stories per issue.
Yeah,
of course their issues had more pages, but the Boom comics, Hellraiser comics, that were written by Clive Barker, Chris Monfette, Mark Miller, Ben Mears. Those are different stories, and they're ongoing chapters. They had story arcs.
Yeah.
So you would have 22 pages, and then it would continue to the next month. And that's why they have all these trade paperbacks. You have The Dark Watch, The Road Below. Those were the story arcs. And so it depends. I mean, mm-hmm.
And Heaven's Reply was a story arc, too.
Yeah. So if you like short stories made by famous comic book artists, go for the Masterpieces. But if you can find the original Marvel Hellraiser comics from the 90s, that's the best. And as for the Boom comics, buy the first trade paperback, read it, and see if you like it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that series has come to an end, right? Hellraiser Bestiary is done. And there are no more plans that we know of to continue the Hellraiser comics. So if they encapsulate that whole run into trade paperbacks, then I'd get all of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're asking on the Occupy Media boards, too. There's never been a definite saying. Is the Nightbreed Boom Studios, is that done, or are they just done with that one 12-issue, series run?
Well, we've been hearing that rumor for a while that it's going to be finished after number 12. And we asked Mark Miller about it when we were in Los Angeles for the Nightbreed screening, and he said, you know, yeah, we heard this rumor too. This is the first we hadn't heard anything about that.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know, because, you know, they used to show preview covers of all of the ones, you know, going, you know, way out, right? They did that with Hellraiser. They've been doing that with Nightbreed. And we're not seeing those anymore for Nightbreed past number 12. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to say 100%, but...
I mean, I just don't want to... I don't know what to tell the people on that. So I just, you know, I just told them to... I have no clue.
Yeah, no, they're not... Gonna end. We're not hearing, so...
I guess they were doing the story arc, and now that it's done, I think...
Excuse me.
Let's see if they're going to pick it up again.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so.
I don't know.
Because I think it was right around, like, 9 or 10 that the actual story started. Up until that point, it was all backstory.
Yeah, backstory for the characters that everyone knows and loves, like Lude and Shuna Sassy.
Yeah, but once we got and Otis and Clay and Chocolat, but once we got past episode 9, then they skipped past the events of Nightbreed of the movie, and they're going into, you know, this is what happens after the director's cut of Nightbreed events.
I think there's a good chance that it's going to continue. And even if it doesn't, at least they've made a pretty nice run of comics that I really enjoyed. I mean, they're really beautiful. I like them more than I did some of the Hellraiser comics. I really hope they continue it.
It's had a much easier through line than the Hellraiser comics. I think the Hellraiser comics had too many guest writers and stuff. I mean, not Bestiary, but I'm talking about just the, you know, for one continuous story, they kept on getting different writers and different artists all the time. And even characters would look differently from one issue to the next. And it was hard to understand what was going on sometimes.
Yeah. I don't want any of the writers to get angry at me. And I'm just going to say that I wasn't thrilled about the two hells. Story arc, that there was like an infernal hell and then there was a Cenobite hell. I kind of got a little lost when they introduced that. I kind of got like, well, okay. But and Leviathan being a milkman, so
yeah. What?
But you know, it was still fun to read. I mean, I was just more used to little stories like the Marvel ones. That's why I enjoyed Bestiary a lot.
Yeah.
I like the little neatly packed, you know, little stories with beginning and end, just a few pages. You have to throw a lot more when you're doing a short story. You have to throw a lot more originality and detail into the story because it's a short story. So you have to make an impact in a few pages. You don't have the luxury of having a whole story arc to set up some storylines and then get the payoff.
Yeah.
Here it's like 3-4 pages. You got to do your best so you can get a nice payoff. And you know, I think they hit it with Bestiary. They did that.
Right when it ends.
I had the first three issues of those, and I can't remember those, at least of those issues. I enjoyed every one of those stories.
Hmm. Yeah, and that was when they were building up with this sort of battle between Pinhead and Kirstie, right? In the first three issues, I think that's what was they were working up to that.
No, I was talking about just
Bestiary.
Bestiary.
Oh, okay,
agreeing with Jose. I like those, like, you know, wham bam thank you ma'am. Kind of story.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, those are good.
I never read those other ones. The ones where Harry DeMorn was like Pinhead. I never read that.
The story got a little crazier as you progressed, but it started out pretty strong, and there are things that I liked about it going through. But it did get a, you know, because there were threads that people would leave, and then the other artists or writers would have different ideas about where they wanted the story to go, and they would not, maybe they wouldn't pick up on, you know, something important that the other previous person thought was important.
I like the little details that they introduced in the stories, like Tiffany coming back.
Yeah.
And,
oh, cool.
And what was that other thing? And Elliot Spencer looking like Doug Bradley. That was cool.
Yeah. And I liked that painting or that sculpture painting that he did for that Fangoria magazine.
Sure.
That Clive Barker did. I liked that they incorporated that into the story.
Oh yeah, that's true. It was kind of a shaman's mask that they did, I think, for was it Fangoria or Rue Morgue? I think it was Fangoria, yeah. Like 300 or something something like that. Yeah. That was cool.
Oops.
So they actually did. They got the likeness for Doug Bradley for the comic book. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Elliot Spencer looks just like Doug Bradley. It's pretty nice.
Well, and Kirstie looks a lot like Ashley Lawrence too. Tiffany maybe is a little harder to tell because I think in real life she looks exactly like she did in the movie, but they made her like grown up and looks different in the comic book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. At least Gary Smart was saying that she looks exactly the same, you know, as she did.
Yeah, I remember saying that. I was going to say that there is there's one last thing for the Clive Barker, for the new Boom comic fans out there. They have coming out in May 26th is the first trade paperback volume of that first four issues. You know, we were talking about the Boom.
Yeah. So they're collecting 1 through 4 of Boom Hellraiser?
Yeah, they're breaking them down into like 4 issues a piece.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like they did with the Next Testament.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish they would. I mean, we've said this before. I wish they would do bigger.
Yeah.
Well, I got the Boom Hellraiser comics in trade paperback. I'm looking at it on my shelf right now. I have like number 2, number 3, and The Road Below as a trade paperback. And I have Heaven's Reply and Requiem.
Oh, really? So
I mean, I got these last year, I think. So
so they're republishing them into new trade paperbacks then?
I don't know.
Yes. That's what I'm seeing here, at least.
Okay.
Maybe their first run of paperbacks ran out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that kind of wraps it up here for us. Next time we're still working out what we're going to do for our next episode, but we'll try to get it done on time.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Right. Thanks for all the feedback you send us. And keep sending us feedback. And, you know, we're getting ready to tackle Everville, eventually Magicka. So, exciting episodes ahead of us.
Yeah.
The Clive Barker Podcast, or BarkerCast, is an independent editorial fan site and podcast that is not affiliated with or under contract by Clive Barker or Seraphim Films. This podcast and site are a labor of love by the fans for the fans. News, features, and show notes for this episode can be found at www.clivebarkercast.com. Go to iTunes and please leave us a review. Reviews really help us get the word out about Clive Barker. You can also find us on Podomatic, Xbox Music Store, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, DoubleTwist, BlackBerry, and Pocket Cast. We have a Facebook page, so come on and like our Facebook page and join the Occupy Media group for lots of discussion about Nightbreed and other Clive Barker stuff. On Twitter, we're at BarkerCast and at Occupy Midian. Opening theme by Mark Buckle.
Goodbye.